We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Everybody, Redemption Church, glad to see our visitors. God bless you. We're so glad to have you today. My name is Chris, and I want to tell you that we're getting closer and closer to a date, October 31st. What happens on that day? Halloween. Halloween happens on that day, and I just wanted to share with you, here's some of the top costumes for kids according to eBay. Number one, I was really surprised by this, Super Mario and Luigi. They're still popular. I didn't know that. That's number one. Number two, Star Wars characters. That's no big surprise, right, with the movie coming out. I hear that Salacious Crumb and Snice Noodles are big this year. That was for Star Wars fans only. All right. Batman. Sure. Frozen characters. Witches. Minions. Spider-Man. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Number nine, Minnie and Mickey Mouse. And number 10, Power Rangers. Power Rangers. All right. Have you ever dressed up? Have you ever worn a costume? Maybe for a movie? Maybe for a play? Maybe for Halloween? We've been begging you to share your childhood costume memories at 214-856-0550. You can just get out your phone. It's all right to get out your phone at church, and you can text us your costume memory. We also asked you to share some of your favorite candy, and it looked like M&M's one. So today we're just going to kind of make it rain during service here. So look out. They go haywire there. All right. That one totally didn't reach you. But there. Oh, sorry. We might put out an eye. All right. All right. Let's make sure. All right. We'll be throwing out a few more of those. They're not aerodynamic, these M&M packages. Kind of. Certain anonymous members of Redemption Church like to dress up from time to time. Now, it's really important we value anonymity here at Redemption Church. One nameless person in particular is quite good at it, and we have visual evidence of them dressing up like a strange cowboy for the Goal Youth IKEA scavenger hunt. If you've never heard about that, it's a pretty big deal around here. We have a big scavenger hunt at IKEA, and there's all kinds of crazy people that might show up inside the game, and here is one such person. Now, we wanted to keep this anonymous, so we blurred out his, oh, whoa, wrong picture. I'm so sorry. That's better. That's better. We want to keep that totally anonymous. All right. We're in the third week of our costume series, and I want to remind you, we've been talking about it. What is a costume? A costume is something you wear that hides your true identity. And what we've been talking about is we wear costumes not just on October 31st, but we wear costumes often when we hide who we truly are. Today, we're going to take a look at Proverbs chapter 13, verse 7. Look at this scripture with me. One man pretends to be rich, yet has nothing. Another pretends to be poor, yet has great wealth. Let's break this down. One man pretends. He disguises himself as being rich, but in actuality, all he's doing is hiding the truth that he's poor. All right. Make sense? And then another man does the opposite. He wears the costume of a poor man to hide his wealth. In both of these cases, someone is trying to hide who they are. Someone is trying to hide the state of their life, and they hide it with something that is not true. They're hiding behind a costume. Today, we're going to be talking about financial fakers. And I'm just going to warn you, because it might kind of have to do with money. You might turn me off, okay? Don't tune me out today. Listen, because this is a severe problem in our culture today. Yeah. Those that wear a costume with their money, those that wear a costume with their material goods and try to put up an image. Have you ever been in a situation where you were ashamed and you tried to hide? Maybe you tried to hide your state of the state of your life. Maybe something like that. I remember in junior high, my mom, in an effort to save money, she went and she bought a lower priced pair of shoes. They were actually knockoffs. They were meant to kind of look like one very prominent pair of shoes, but they were not. All right. I wanted a Nike swoosh on my shoes. These had an actual check mark and it was like a right angle and everything. And I'm sure it was going to fool the other kids in my school if I showed up in that. Right. And I love my mom. I was horrified in my heart. I was like, oh my gosh, I can't wear these. How am I going to wear these? If I wear these, everyone's going to laugh at me. If I wear these, people are going to make fun of me. If I wear these to school, people are going to think differently about me than the way I want them to. I want to fit in. I want to join the club. Everyone's joining the club. I want that club. Please, may I be a member of that club. These shoes are jeopardizing my whole life, Mom. I can't wear them. It got a little vocal. All right. Now, the truth is that I showed up to school in my bikey checks. I don't know what you want to call those. Well, I showed up in these shoes, and the truth is I was made fun of. All right? But that's not the point, because I was in junior high, and junior high is a soul-sucking experience. Everybody gets made fun of in junior high, whether you're wearing Nikes or not. And the church said, amen. It's like the hardest time of your life. Absolutely. All right. If you need to counsel over your junior high years, Ackley, I'm available. Okay. We can talk about those things. Get the healing you need, brother. Get the healing you need. All right. Everyone was made fun of whether they wore Nikes or not. Okay. The point is that I thought my identity, that I thought my image, that I thought my value and worth was in this image, and it was wrapped up in how people treated me and how people liked me and if they wanted to hang out with me and not make fun of me like the next guy. All right. And I realized, looking back, my whole image, my whole value system was based on a pair of shoes and the response they might get. It was based more on what I wore than who I was. Danger sign. Danger. All right. Ground control to Major Tom. We got a problem here. I was wearing $50 shoes to be who you liked. How much do those shoes cost? I don't care. Do they make someone like me? Let's put them on. To me, the name brand on the outside held a lot more value than the character inside me. Now, you and I could stand here and say, thank goodness we learned our lesson. Thank goodness we're out of junior high. We're not like that anymore. But are we really? Have we really gotten past all that stuff? Do we still put our value on things that aren't valuable? There is this pressure to keep up appearances in our own society. It does not just affect junior high students. It affects their parents. And that's one thing I didn't understand looking back. Now I am clearly understanding that my parents were feeling a pressure that I didn't even know about. There is this pressure. Have you ever been embarrassed by, we'll name some of these, the car you drove? Anyone ever been embarrassed by the car you drove? You're driving up somewhere nice and your car's going, and you kind of, it squeaks when you brake, and you get out and you're like, stop, and then, all right. Here, valet, take that, and you're like, gosh, I should tip them extra for having to drive my car. Or the clothes you wear. You felt embarrassed by the clothes you are wearing. Oh, no, I'm not wearing the brand. I'm wearing knockoff clothes, or my clothes just, they don't look good, and everyone else here is dressed up. And you're worried about, I didn't know we were dressing up. Maybe one of those things. Or, man, my clothes are so old, and they have new clothes every time I see them. Every time I see them, they have brand new clothes. How many pair of clothes do they have? I can't compete with that. I'm wearing the same old clothes. Have you ever felt embarrassed about your house or your neighborhood? What part of town do you live in? Well, I live in that part of town. I live in, you just say the city. And they're like, well, I know what city you live in. What part of town? Because there's parts of town that aren't as impressive as the other parts of town. There are parts of town that are kind of embarrassing. Oh, you live over there. Are you okay? Are you safe? Are you all right? Well, you live over there. Where's your house at? Where's your house that you walk inside? Maybe you don't walk inside my house. Maybe you just drop me off here. You have this embarrassment. The way your children or your spouse or your friends appear. Have you ever been embarrassed by that? You're out with a group of people and you're embarrassed by the way they act or the way they talk or the way they look, the clothes that they're wearing, the car that they are driving, and you're just embarrassed. Well, flip it. Have you ever felt empowered? Have you ever felt proud because of the car you're driving? Have you felt like, oh man, I look good behind the wheel of this car. People wish they were me right now. Yeah, buddy, at the red light. Yeah, right. You're looking over here because you wish you had this. The clothes you wear, you ever felt empowered by that? You have that one pair of clothes that, oh, you could conquer the world in those clothes. Now, it goes beyond that. It goes for a confidence thing. It goes, I'm valuable and people are going to like me in these clothes. People are going to think highly of me. I can't wear those. No, I'm not putting those on. I'm going to wear this because this will make me feel good and people will look at me or my house or my neighborhood. There are people in Dallas. What are some of the big neighborhoods in the Dallas area? Highland Park Cities. Now, nothing wrong if you live there. Please believe me, nothing wrong. But there is something kind of weird when your value in the first thing, hi, what's your name? Highland Park. I live in Highland Park. My name is Chris. There's something wrong there, okay? There's a little weird. The way your children, your spouse, your friends act, you name drop and you feel powerful. Well, you know, I met Kevin Bacon several times. All right, Kevin Bacon, I don't know. You're embarrassed or you're empowered by what? By an image, by a costume. We've never really left junior high, have we? We're still valuing name brands on the outside instead of character inside. This is a human struggle, and I don't know anyone in this part of the world who doesn't struggle with this in some way. And I really mean that. I mean church people. I mean non-church people. I mean pastors and saints. We all struggle with this, so you better listen up today. We are more focused on the appearance than the truth. We will go to great cost to wear these image costumes. We'll put those out there. We are financial fakes. That's us. Someone should have sat there. All right. Here we go. With deep there, Zach, I'm trying to reach you, man. Look up. Don't want to heat a fight. It's really bad. All right, guys. Maybe that's embarrassing. All right. We have preached many times about money issues, how to pay off debt, how to build wealth. All right, how to build the life that you want, and that's really great, but we are not doing that today. We're not preaching that today. If you want some of that, you go to redemption-church.com, and you just do a search for money. You'll find several of our past series. Today, we're going to preach to you about behavior and belief. Okay. A lot of times in these other money series, we would sit down and we'd talk about behavior. These are the 10 steps you do. And the number one thing is you build a $1,000 emergency fund and you come here and you start building a debt snowball. And there are these behaviors. Do this behavior in an order and it'll get you ahead in life. But sometimes we ignore the belief. And I want to talk to you about that today. Behavior and belief. Here is an interesting fact. Around 70% of people under the age of 30 have saved $0 for their future. They have a $0 amount of reserve in case problems happen. 70% of people under 30 that are in that working range, they're in that age bracket where they are working, 70% have zero. Now, here's the deal. they would say very proudly that their future is important to them. Hey, is your future important to you? Absolutely, working really hard every day. Yeah, my future's really important to me. But wait, the way you're living right now, your behavior says that you've got no future financially. 70% of people under 30, their behavior says they don't have that future, but their belief, what comes out of their mouth, is absolutely, Dwight, my future really is important to me. That is their belief, but it disagrees with their behavior. That's a problem. That's a problem. They may appear wealthy. They might have wealthy cars. They might have nice new clothes. They might have the latest cell phones, but they actually have no wealth. They're financial fakers, and they're wearing a costume. We are focused on instant lifestyles instead of building up our lives, right? Instant lifestyles instead of building up our lives. Past generations would save up for a car. They would save up for a house. They would save up for retirement. They would save up for a wedding ring. They would save up for vacations. But today we do what? We charge it. We put it on credit. We'll pay for it later. That's an instant lifestyle. We want an instant lifestyle. We want the life our parents had now. I'm out of college. I should have that life now. I should have what they have now. Does any of this make sense? It makes sense to want it, but to want it without the work, it's a belief without a behavior, or a behavior that's actually opposite of your belief. Our society says, my life is important, so I need to start enjoying it now. But what we should say is, my life is important, I need to start building it now. Oh man, there's a big difference. We live in a bling generation, and I don't know, I guess somewhere in my head I was thinking a little bit of Flava Flav back in the 80s, all right? Flava Flav, all right. But we got this bling about us that we want something shiny and new, just glitter it with diamonds. We want those. And we want the jeans. The women want jeans with all the sparklies on the back. I don't want any sparklies on the back of my jeans. Don't even look at me. All right. We want the fancy new car with all the latest stuff in it. We want the Bluetooth feature. We want the, again, I'm talking about the backside's weird, the warm seats. Because it gets really cold in the summer, and we want to warm those seats for when we get into it here, Texas. It is really hot if you don't know other parts of the world. But we are the bling generation, and we don't want to just live the life. We don't want to just live a simple, humble life. Actually, we want to put it out there for everyone to say, oh, wow, they've got a great life. What do you think 100% of Instagram is? Look how cool I am. Look at what I'm doing. Cha-ching right now. I'm so cool. And it's good. We'll just crop out the dirty room, and we'll crop out the dumpster that we're behind. And you'll just be really impressed with us. It's Instagram, that we put all those pictures. Nobody puts the miserable pictures on Facebook except our youth pastor, Scott. He loves doing that. But no one else does that. We all put out those, just smiling family. We're really happy. Look at us. We're all running through the blue bonnets. We don't post the picture where William Worth was stung by a bee and he's screaming and he's blowing up a blimp and stuff. That didn't actually happen. But this is how we live. And we got this bling. We want to make it rain. I don't know if you know about this, but it's a weird thing, I think, in our society. We want to make it rain. And there's areas of the inner city where they want to spend money, but not just spend money so pervasively and out in your face that everyone sees it. We'll take out this huge wad of cash and we will spend it where everyone can see it. Because it's not just fun to spend it. We want everyone to see it. Because the image is what matters. Y'all got to help me out by catching something. I'll feel better about my throwing skills. All right. Oh, man. My goodness. Sign me up, Rangers. I'm terrible. All right. So that's us. But you know what this is? This is pretend. And people that brag on making it rain, I want to show that. That's wearing a costume. It's not real. And what happens? Because money is, it runs out. And what do you do when people stop looking at you spending your money? That's all the thing. I want to ask you some questions here. Raise your hand if you believe the following. And please be honest. Here we go. Money can't buy you happiness. Raise your hand if you believe that. Money cannot buy you happiness. All right, thank you very much. You can put those hands down. Now answer this question. A little more money would make my life a little better. Would you, right? There seems like nothing wrong with that. But I want to bring this out. You can lower your hands here. There's a disconnect between those two questions. Money won't make me happy, but it would make life a little better. That's essentially the same thing, right? I mean, I love the comedian that says, money can't buy you happiness, but it can buy you a jet ski. And I've never seen anybody frown on a jet ski, right? That's true. Praise God. I love jet skis. All right. But we have this disconnect between our thoughts and our emotions. Because that second question's a little bit emotional. You're thinking, well, yeah, a little money would make things a little better. Yeah, wouldn't have to work quite as hard. That would be good. You see, there's a problem between our behavior and our belief. We truly believe money can't buy you happiness. It can't buy me love. Can't buy me happiness. But there's something emotional in it that says, yeah, but I would like a little more money. And there's nothing wrong with having more money. Let's pause right here. The Bible says that God has given you the ability to create wealth. I'm not preaching a sermon where you need to throw out all your money and go start living on some countryside somewhere. I'm telling you that there is a disconnect between our belief and our behavior when it comes to what's really valuable. We say we believe money is not everything in life, but our behavior. If you spend so much time at work that you never see your family and you're growing apart from your family, then you don't believe money can't buy you happiness. You are absolutely full steam ahead trying to find happiness right there. The way you live is disagreeing with money can't buy me happiness, but man, my charge card, I am spending. Every time I get down in the dumps, I go, spend money. That's an emotional thing. You see, our behavior doesn't match our belief. Romans chapter 1, verse 25. Romans 1, number 1, is a really tough chapter, but it says this amazing thing right here. It warns, it says, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator who is forever praised. Amen. Now we need to get this. We are warned right here in Romans 1:25 about exchanging truth for a lie. We trade who we are meant to be, who God truly called us to be, that you would trade that in for what someone else thinks of you. We ignore the costume. We ignore the truth, and we put a costume over top of it. Well, here's some examples right here. Christmas is coming up, and your bank account tells you the truth, right? You look at your bank account, it's telling you the truth. Whoa, be careful this December, guys. Don't spend. You cannot overspend. That is the truth that your bank account might be telling you right now. But culture and a perceived image, the pressure is telling you differently. So you just pull out that charge card instead. That is exchanging the truth of your bank account and common sense for a lie and this pressure. Okay, you get me on it? Yeah. All right, you're entering your 30s and your 40s. And you know what? I'm I'm 35 years old. I should be driving a better car than I'm driving. I should be driving a luxury car. I'm owed that. That's what I've been this long. I've driven a bad car long enough. I'm going to go out. I'm going to drive by me a luxury car and not a used one. Well, that is the expected image. Yes, but by the way, who propagates that image more than anyone? The car companies. Who wants you to believe that more than anyone? The car companies want you to believe that more than anyone. That's the expected image, and you need to do whatever it takes to have that image, right? That is exchanging truth for a lie. And let me tell you, anybody that works in the area of building wealth will tell you buying a new car is one of the worst investments anyone makes. But we've got most people in society can't think of buying a used car. What is that about? They'll come up with some reasons not to, all right? Used cars have more problems. Not true. New cars have problems. Cars have problems. Right? Cars have problems. Could it be that the reason you have to have a new car, could it be that the reason you have to have that kind of car, regardless of what the truth is telling you over here in the rest of your life, could it be that you have an image situation? That you have a prideful image that you need to feed and put up. It's part of your costume. Man, it's an expensive costume. We don't focus on what is truly important. If our heart is more set on these other things than what's truly important, then that's absolutely true. We exchange that truth for a costume. We worship created things instead of the Creator. That's what the rest of that verse said. That they created, they worshiped created things. We get more excited about money, a created thing, than we do about God the Creator. You bring someone to church and they will sit there with their hands really tight. You know, it's like, okay, we'll go through church. All right. Yeah. Okay. Praise the Lord. All right. We no need to get too excited here. We're at church. Someone knocks on their door and says, we're from Publishers Clearinghouse and somehow you've won $1 million. They just sit there really quietly and go, oh, wow, that is just really good. There's no need to get excited. No, they come unglued. You've never seen them get so excited. And somebody, some sweaty preacher come up here and preach them the absolute best news they've ever heard. And they might just sit there unchanged. All right? What's going on there? Could that be worshiping created things more than the Creator God? We celebrate material things more than spiritual things. Have you ever tried to tell somebody about the spiritual breakthrough you had in their life and they just kind of stared at you? I mean, other Christians. Let's take this to the church. I've told Christians the spiritual breakthroughs that God has had in my life, and they've just glazed over. But then they got excited talking about some material thing. Got a new TV. It's a smart TV. You know what that means? I don't know either. It costs more money. All right. We worry about what we don't have. And not what spiritual thing God is trying to call us into. Right? See, those are both things we don't have. We're not yet fulfilling the calling of God. But we could not care less about that. We are caring about the thing that we don't have. All right. We have this belief, but we exchange it for a lie. And we do it through our behavior. I want to tell you real quick, your problems... It is a spiritual problem, not a financial problem. When you're going through some of this material stuff and the greed and you're worried about your finances and all that stuff, you just think, well, it's a financial problem. Of course, we could always make more money. That makes it easier. And we could, you know, do some smart things with our money. But can I tell you, it's a spiritual problem. You need God's help. In fact, you could take that to every area of your life. You could copy paste that on every area of your life. This is actually your relationship problems. They're not relationship problems. They're spiritual problems. Your anger problems, they are not just your emotional problems. They're spiritual problems. So get spiritual. You don't need more money. Can I tell you that? That's one hard thing. People just don't want to hear that. That's insanity. You don't need more money. Most of you right now make more money than you ever have. and you're still saying you need a little bit more. Follow down that road, you will always be following down that road and saying that same thing. You don't need to worry about what others think. That image conscious way of thinking. You have worried about what others think and you have thrown out your own beliefs and changed your behavior for these people, and you're still worried about what they think. That never stops. That never stops. So there's these people we want to hang out with. Let's just change we'll throw our beliefs aside. We'll change our behavior and we'll get with these people. And now we're not worried about what they think. No, you're always worried about what they think. After you've sold out your life to the last degree, you're still worried about what they think. There's a better way. God has a better way where you don't have to worry about what people think. You become his child. You become his beloved. You become his treasure. You become all the things he's calling you into, and it's glorious. Can I tell you, you don't need more stuff. No, you don't. You have more stuff than you know what to do with. That is a pretty safe saying that to 99.9% of Americans. You have more stuff than you know what to do with. You have more stuff than you're using right now. You have more stuff. You don't really enjoy the old stuff. Actually, the stuff becomes a burden because you're having to store the stuff. You're having to keep the stuff. Oh my goodness, you have an extra car. You have to make sure that car's driven or it'll break. All these things. You don't need more stuff. You're going into debt to buy new stuff. Get it home and unbox it. And as soon as you unbox that TV and turn it on, there is a new commercial for a new TV and you want that more stuff. It happens. Can I tell you, your heart is not a job for George Washington to heal. Your emotions are way above Abraham Lincoln's pay grade. Your mind and your fears are way too much for Andrew Jackson and Taft to handle. Benjamin Franklin has never given you the life you want to live. Remember the first time someone gave you $100? You're like, this is life changing. Someone gave me $100. Do you know how many Laffy Taffys a five-year-old could buy with $100? That's what I would think as a five-year-old. No, it goes so much shorter than you would think. $100 doesn't change your life. Benjamin Franklin has never given you the life that you want. All of these things, this is a job for God.
Yeah.
This is a job for God.
Amen.
Money promises us what only God can provide. I want you to put that in your heart. Money promises us what only God can provide. Happiness. Happiness. If I have enough dollars, if I have enough bling, if I have enough stuffs, then I'll be happy. Then I'll be satisfied. Is that true? It's not true. Wrong. You'll never have enough. And the joy you're looking for is found in the Lord. The joy of the Lord is your strength.
Yeah.
How about this? That was happiness. How about significance? You're looking for significance. If I have the image that people want, if I have that, then they'll think highly of me. I've got a fancy watch. That means I'm a fancy person. My kids go to an expensive school. That means we are well to do. I'm significant. If people think highly of me, then I will feel better about themselves. See, sometimes the bling isn't for other people. Sometimes it's for you. You don't feel good about yourself, so you need that new thing. You don't feel like you are really all that worthwhile, so let's buy something until we feel that way. Wrong. I'm telling you that true significance comes from a relationship with Jesus Christ. Anybody agree with that? True significance comes in knowing the Creator, and He calls you out of the darkness of the life you were living, and He gives you hope, and He gives you happiness. He takes away your anger. He gives you beauty for ashes. He gives you joy for your tears. He gives you all those things. That's the significance that you are looking for. The Bible says that His power, the power of the Holy Spirit, He says in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, Jesus says this. He says, you shall have power after the Holy Spirit has come into your life. How does that sound for you? You want significance? You talk about Jesus who had all power in heaven and earth. He says, I'm going to give you my power. Do you want it? And it doesn't cost you anything. It is free. Amen. You talk about significant. That's the significance you're looking for. How about this? We had happiness, significance. How about security? If I would just win the lottery, then I wouldn't have to worry. We've all had that daydream, right? And we just, oh man, had that dream so many times. Gosh, the Lord, I didn't buy a lottery ticket, but if you could just give me one with those winning numbers, amen. My prayer each night before I go to bed. All right. If I just had this money, then I would never have to worry again. That's what we think. Oh, I've seen it time and time again. People with more money, the rapping prophet told it best. He said, mo money, mo problems. It's right. You can bank on it. No, wrong. Your kid has a life-threatening accident. It doesn't matter how much money you have. You aren't secure. You're falling on your face, calling on the true source of security. You're calling on God. When those things happen, you don't check your bank statement. When those things happen, even the atheist says, God, if you're out there, could you come and meet my life? That's where the significance, that's where the security is, that's where the happiness is. Not here, not here. We think our costume makes us better. You can't be made better than the Creator that made you. He made you good. Your costume can't provide what only God can provide. I'm coming to a close here. I want to talk to you about a fish. You find a fish and it's out of water. Question, is this fish enjoying life? No, he's flopping around. He's all over the place. Here, we'll try this again. Look alive. All right. Sorry, they always go to you, man. I'm so sorry. We're trying to get you to gain weight. All right. Now this fish, he's what? He's out of water. He's dying. Yeah. He's not enjoying life. He's counting the moments before it is over. But whoa, whoa, whoa. What if we gave this fish a lot of money? Don't you think he'd be happy then? Would he be happy then? Would he enjoy life then if he had more money? Gosh, they fly all over the place. All right, big candy bars next time. All right.
No, that's dangerous.
That's dangerous. What if you gave this fish a brand new car and a big house? You'd be like, oh, thank you. No, no. What if you gave him an award and a lot of people stood around him and gave him a standing ovation? Then that fish would start enjoying life, right? What if he became famous and became a spectacle of many and people put him on TV, they put him on posters, and they put him on magazines? Then that fish, man, he'd enjoy life. Man, if only what we would do to trade places with that fish. Can I tell you that costumes won't help the fish? The fish can't truly enjoy life until he is back where the Creator meant him to be. He can't enjoy life until he's back in the water. I just want to tell you that it is so silly for us to think that if we added a ton of money to our life, then we'd be happy. That, forget God, if I just had my house the way I wanted it to be, that dream home, then I would enjoy life. It's just as ridiculous as giving it to that fish. You were called for more than just a big house. You were called for more than just a better job. You were called for so much more than just some things. God has a lot more than an image for you. He has substance for you. And it's real, and it's what you've always been needing. So many people have found what they were so desperate to find and said, this is what I gave my life for. This is not the life I need. Jesus is there the whole time. Jesus tells us in Luke 12:15. Then he said to them, watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. What makes your life is not more stuff. What makes your life is not more money. What makes your life, what really your life will consist of is love. And who is love? God is love. We're going to be closing really quick. I want to tell you that your behavior reveals what you truly believe. We can say we have this belief today. You can say, amen, preacher, amen. You can walk back out that door and have your own belief, your own behavior. But it's really when you walk out that door and your behavior matches up with your belief, that's when you really believe what you say you believe. Now, in the church, we are just as prone to buy the image game as those outside of the church. It is a tricky and seductive lie. We have got to make our behavior match up with our belief. Now, Chris Fuller, are you saying that I can't have things? No. God is the giver of all good things. You can have things. Are you saying that I shouldn't go for that promotion? No. God wants to bless you. God wants to provide all your needs. He is Jehovah Jireh. He's the provider. But what I'm telling you is you need to see what's really important in life. You need to find the truth of God, and you need to never exchange it for any other thing. Don't exchange it for any other thing. We do three things every time we come to Redemption Church. We have worshiped God together. That's number one. We've received the word of God together. And number three, we're going to talk to God. See, it's not enough just to come to church and hear about God. Here's a story about God. No, God is alive and you can talk to him today. All right. So I just kind of want to explain. We're just going to open up this altar. You don't have to even come down here. You can talk to God wherever you are. But we want to encourage you to make a step in your life and to step away from your chair and to talk to God. If you come up here, no one's going to bother you unless you come in the first 2 feet. If you come in the first 2 feet, that tells us that you want us to pray with you. We believe in prayer. We believe that when we pray with you, God will meet your need, that God will speak to you. Anybody believe that? Anybody ever have that in their life? Yeah, we believe that. These altars are open. Why don't you come and talk to God in this house? Lord, we love you. Lord, we thank you that we don't have to live by man's image, and we don't have to live in fear, that we really have happiness in you, that we really have significance in you, that we really have security in you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we want you to move in our hearts, God. Lord, if anyone's dealing with financial issues today, Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would meet their need. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would do a miracle in their heart, God. Lord, if us that are doing well financially right now, Lord, keep us safe from the trap of believing our life consists of the things we have. Keep us free from it. Help us to take off that costume. Help us to have the victory in the name of Jesus.